Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Hey, you want that to go?
So our first news takeout this morning is all about that political takedown in Washington, D.C. Todd Zwillick, Washington correspondent, joins us. So congressional Democrats were kind of figuring out what to do next based on the result in Massachusetts. Todd?
Hi, good morning, John. Yep, they absolutely are. This whole idea, John, of having the House and Senate agree on a health care bill and then having the Senate, you know, pass it with 60 votes while it can before Scott Brown gets to Washington seems to be completely off the table now. Listen to Harry Reid from yesterday.
We're not going to rush into anything. We're going to wait until the new senator arrives before we do anything more on health care.
Now, Todd, can you decode that for me? What's deep in the text there?
All right. Well, on the face of it, we're not going to do anything. Democrats have decided it would be politically unsavory to ram something through on health care before Scott Brown gets there when they still have 60 votes. Fine. The subtext, though, is that health care still has to get done. They want to move on to other things. It's been out here long enough. And where's all the pressure now? Harry Reid has thrown all the pressure back onto Nancy Pelosi in the House. That's what he's done with that statement, because it still has to pass. And remember, we sort of mentioned yesterday, I think, that one of the only options they have now is to have the House simply pass the bill that the Senate has already passed. Now, the House hates that bill, and they would have to do a whole bunch of other maneuvers to make it palatable to a lot of the liberals and progressives and even some of the conservatives, frankly, everybody in the Democratic side in the House. So Reid has just thrown it all on Nancy Pelosi there. So story's in the House now.
Well, the pressure for some House members might actually be welcome, since they're sick and tired of being ignored for so long. But Congress is moving on some Haiti legislation. Let's talk about that before we go.
Yeah, a whiff of bipartisanship. Yesterday, the House passed unanimously, John, a bill. Listen just to the details really quickly. Anything you give to Haiti between January 11th, which is when the earthquake was in Haiti, and March 1st, you can write off of your 2009 taxes. So you can take the deduction right away. You just have to show a phone bill showing the contribution and the name of the organization. The Senate, a whiff of bipartisanship, so that make it a little bit easier for people to give to Haiti.
Congress doing something. There we go. Todd Zwillick, Washington correspondent. Thanks so much, Todd.
Let's get the latest from Haiti this morning. Joining us on the line right now from the center of the city of Port-au-Prince is the BBC's Adam Minot. He's the world affairs correspondent there, the BBC, our partner here on The Takeaway. Adam, good to have you with us. Just describe where you are, what you're seeing right now, and how things are developing in Haiti.
Well, what we're seeing is a gradual ramp up of the aid operation here. It's been a slow process, and some people here are very unhappy at the speed at which food has been getting out. But that is starting. I was in a number of these rough encampments that have been set up all over the town earlier. These have been set up largely by homeless people, or indeed by people who still have houses but feel too frightened to sleep inside them. So there are tens of thousands of people out on the street, and really the bulk of them have not received any internet national food aid, which is absolutely vital. They are getting some water, which is good. That is arriving, but food is what they really need.
Why is the aid not getting there?
Well, it's a difficult process, and there are probably a number of reasons. I think the main one is that the relief operation is really having to start from scratch. There was absolutely no capacity whatsoever in the country to assist any food dispersal. That said, I think a lot of people agree that it could have happened, even in a fairly rudimentary fashion, a lot more quickly. And I think probably too much time has been spent setting up processes, securing sites, deciding programs, and actually they should have simply dumped some food on the streets and allowed the people who are here who need it desperately to get their hands on it, because what is turning not nasty, but I think some people are turning slightly angry now that this promised food that they've had now for, what is it, nine days simply hasn't appeared.
Well, you know, you could understand the reluctance to just drop food in and the possible ramifications of that. In retrospect, I gather you think that's a mistake. Is this a function of the lack of leadership in the Haitian government, or is there something else going on?
I think, as I said, I think there are probably a multiplicity of factors, and you're right, you don't just dump food and allow people to get on with it, but I do think that probably there is a balance to be found between dumping food and letting people grab it, and at the other end, having a very precisely organised system for dispersal, because the needs are so desperate. People, they are getting scraps of food, and people are sharing food, they're buying food at vastly inflated prices, but what we normally see in these circumstances where things like pulses, rice, grain, sorghum, together with some cooking oil, maybe some salt and sugar being passed out. This simply hasn't begun on a large scale. What's been going out have largely been packets of high-energy biscuits. And I think that really the international relief effort should have concentrated on getting some of that out in whatever form very early on, rather than trying to build up an elaborate process for getting a really tight dispersal and distribution system underway.
Give us a sense a little bit about the medical care situation there, Adam. I know you spent yesterday at a hospital. We've talked to some doctors this morning. What they're telling us is they may have turned a corner on that. Are they being a little too sanguine?
No, I think that's a fair justification. I mean, it's a big corner to turn, and the hospital I went to, they're amputating about 50 limbs a day. So that gives you a sense of the appalling injuries that people have suffered. The health relief that's coming in, the medical teams are doing an extraordinary job in extraordinary conditions. So that is working, but my goodness, they've got a task ahead of them.
The rooster crowing on a new morning there in Haiti.
In Haiti, with all you're describing there, Adam, I'd be worried if I was that chicken.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. These questions I sometimes don't like, but how would you characterize the mood of the people this morning? I know there's a lot of panic 24 hours ago because of the aftershock. How are people coping right now?
Well, they are remarkably resilient, the people here. They're used to tragedy. They're used to disasters, natural and man-made. They're capable, as a people, of picking themselves up and bouncing back, but they've got quite a mountain to climb here. Mm.
Adam Minot, World Affairs correspondent with our partner, the BBC. Thank you for your time.
Adam is great. Coming up, who are those independent voters that sent that shock round the world from Massachusetts? We'll talk about that in just a few minutes.